If you're a sustaining member, your reliable monthly donations help keep our focus on programming and less on fundraising. If you're not a sustainer yet, visit WPR.org and become one right now. Your secure, ongoing gift of $5 or $10 a month will feel great, and it'll keep Wisconsin Public Radio strong for you and your community.
Stay connected with the WPR app on Google Play and the iTunes App Store. It makes it easy to listen to WPR live and read recent news stories. You can also hear WPR programs on demand. WPR is everywhere. On WPR, you get thoughtful programming that brings you news and information from close to home and from around the world. Contributing members, including the growing number of sustainers, keep WPR's future secure. Thank you.
If you have an IRA and if you are 70 and a half years old, you can make a tax-free contribution of up to $100,000 directly from your IRA to charity each year. Please consider an IRA charitable rollover gift to support Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a powerful way to give back to the radio programs that give so much to you. Learn more about the IRA charitable rollover gift program at WPRLegacy.org.
Want to know more about a WPR trip or event you heard promoted on air? Our Audience Services Department can help. Contact Audience Services by calling 1-800-747-7444.
There are more than 55 million Hispanics in the U.S., and corporate America is paying attention big time. Latinos are becoming an increasingly critical part of economic growth. By 2020, researchers estimate that Latinos will fuel nearly a quarter of all U.S. GDP growth. Important numbers to bear in mind as we talk about the National Hispanic Corporate Council Summit underway in Milwaukee. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Northwestern Mutual is the host of this year's summit, and its executives are giving a number of keynotes. Octavio Hinojosa is Executive Director of the National Hispanic Corporate Council. Octavio, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate this invitation to share a few thoughts here with your listeners.
Well, first of all, let us understand a little bit about the National Hispanic Corporate Council and the kind of work that you're doing there.
Absolutely. Thank you. The National Hispanic Corporate Council is a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C., that serves as a clearinghouse think tank, if you will, for corporate America. It was established in the mid-'80s, in 1986, out in California, at a time when the national Hispanic market was finally emerging into the national scene. Prior to that, the Hispanic consumer market was very much regional, urban type of a niche market. And in that time period, in the mid-'80s, there was a group of 11 executives, corporate executives, who came together with the idea, how, if only we had a third party organization that would help educate corporate America on the Hispanic market opportunities. Obviously, taking a look at demographic trends, consumer buying trends, and so on. And today, the Hispanic consumer market in the United States is almost a $2 trillion strong market.
Two trillion dollar market. Can you break that down for us? What does that look like?
What it looks like is what you have here internally in our country, in the United States. Hispanics basically are the second largest economy that's driving all sectors of economic activity. If you compare that at the global level, with that level of buying power, we basically place the Hispanic market.
Oh, Octavio, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay, you just cut out there for a moment. Go ahead.
So, yes, as I was saying, basically the Hispanic market in the United States is equivalent to being the 13th or 14th largest economy in the world.
Mm. Why Milwaukee for this event? What was it about Milwaukee that made you choose to hold the summit there?
Sure, great question. Well, first of all, we have corporate members that are a part of our organization, and one of our key corporate partners is Northwestern Mutual. And so we are very delighted to have the opportunity to be welcomed by Northwestern Mutual to come to Milwaukee and to highlight the work that we're doing, but also how Northwestern Mutual is changing its own strategy as it relates to the Hispanic market. And Milwaukee is a very unique city, given that here you have a population that is growing in terms of all sectors of society. But what's very unique about Milwaukee is that if you look at demographics, since 2000, 100% of the net population growth in Milwaukee and the Milwaukee area has been Latino-driven. And it's a startling number to really think about. So for the last 18 years, the net population growth of this city and the surrounding community has been Latino-driven, which means you have more workers, you have more talent, you have more opportunities, more consumers. And so we're very much interested as an organization of really engaging Wisconsin-based companies, Fortune 1000 companies, that is, to better take advantage of the opportunities that we can offer through insights in marketing, consumer trends, talent, as well as supply diversity is the other big topic that we focus on.
And you have dozens of companies represented at the summit from across the country. What is Northwestern Mutual doing in particular? What tactics are they using or changing from within as they look at the impact of the Hispanic community?
No, a fascinating question. Today, for example, we'll learn more about their strategy that they've put in place over the past few years, looking ahead to the future. You know, Northwestern Mutual is a great example. It's your largest Fortune 1000 company in the state of Wisconsin. And as they look at demographic growth, they look at the increased salaries of Hispanic families, there's a great opportunity for financial institutions such as Northwestern Mutual to help educate Hispanic families on financial planning for lifelong investments and so forth. And so what they've taken a look at is that the future in terms of the net margins for them in terms of customers is definitely Hispanic-driven. And so what they've done is re-educate their entire senior leadership and strategy to focus on taking full advantage of this great opportunity that sits in front of them, as well as with any other financial institution and other industries as well. So we're very much looking forward to learning more specifics on that at today's conference here in Milwaukee.
And you had day one yesterday. Day two, you said, it is today. But what kinds of things and discussions are taking place so far at the summit? What's going on?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, yesterday we had a great presenter who talked about the current political environment and how companies are reacting to social issues in a way to demonstrate support of the Hispanic consumer in this particular case. And the key topic, of course, that comes to mind is the issue of immigration and DACA.
Yes.
Many Fortune 1000 companies are employing DACA recipients. They're benefiting from their talent. And certainly, you know, DACA recipients for our listeners are, of course, youth who came here at an early age and were unauthorized, undocumented. But because of this program opportunity, they were able to receive work permits and are being employed by Fortune 1000 companies. And their loyalty to their companies that are employing them is very impressive. And certainly, these are individuals with great levels of education and talent. And so what was very heartening to see is that companies are standing with DACA recipients and saying, we will stand with you and support you and hoping that we'll get Congress to pass a permanent legislative solution so that you're become a legal permanent resident and you're able to contribute fully to society. So that's one example that we found that was very promising to hear from our corporate leaders. Another example, if I may share, is, you know, looking at the future of the labor force. The one stat that I do want to share with your listeners is that 74% of the labor growth in our country is now Hispanic-driven. So think about this for a moment. 3 out of 4 new workers will be Hispanic moving forward here in the next few years, in the coming years, that is.
If the U.S. Latino GDP would be considered an economy of its own, it would have been the 7th largest in the world in 2015, just behind France and ahead of India. So it goes without saying that Latinos make up a major segment of our economy, the largest minority group here in Wisconsin. We're talking with Octavio Hinojosa, who heads up the National Hispanic Corporate Council, which is currently hosting its annual summit in Milwaukee. You can be a part of this conversation conversation at 800-642-1234. If you are Hispanic, what has your experience been as a customer or an employee of an organization here in Wisconsin? Are companies doing enough for you? Do you feel valued? What barriers do you find? What challenges are there? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. The U.S. Hispanic population represents $1.3 trillion in spending power, which is projected to grow to almost $2 trillion by 2022. The ability for Latinos to advance economically is at the forefront of many companies when it comes to diversity and inclusion. Many Latinos still face challenges in gaining opportunities and access to the American dream. We're talking about the National Hispanic Corporate Council Summit that's underway in Milwaukee right now. Hundreds of leaders have come together to talk about corporate diversity and recruiting. We're talking about the summit here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Octavio Hinojosa is executive director of the council, stays with us for this conversation. Gathering your questions and insights, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. Business owners, how important is the Hispanic demographic in your line of work? How have you engaged with Hispanic customers or employees? And what has been the result? You can call in or email ideas@WPR.org. Octavio, before the news break, you were talking about the political climate, the climate around immigration, around DACA, and how companies are having to take a stance. They can no longer be neutral. Is there trepidation out there for companies to actually have to make policy, take a stance, and be political when companies have perhaps been more hesitant to do that, perhaps being better off for business to be neutral?
Correct. Yeah, well, you do see a lot of that. I mean, certainly a lot of businesses are faced with that challenge because they do have diverse customers. And one social issue that may be on top of the news may be a direct conflict for one set of consumers or customers, while certainly it may be of importance to another. So there's a fine balance there. But what's important is that there's at least some level of internal discussion, internal communication, and seeing how a particular social topic may affect the company's bottom line. And so in the example of DACA and immigration, companies that have come forward and said the future of our economy depends on consumer domestic growth. And if our domestic population is not producing or having enough children, then where are we going to find our next generation of workers? And so that's something that it's really important to keep in mind, especially for this part of the country, the Midwest region, which has a bit of a demographic decline in most demographic groups, with the sole exception being the Hispanic population. In fact, I would suggest that our economy is based on the notion of demographic growth. And if you have an economy where the working age population is in decline, that means there are less opportunities for income growth, less opportunities for social advancement, and so forth. And one of the blessings that we have as in our country is that we have this opportunity to, educate young children who probably their numbers a little over a million, my understanding, who have been brought here at a younger age, who are being educated in our schools, our public schools, or even private schools, and certainly they would be very much great addition to our workforce. So companies that have come forward, there are a number of them, they're well publicized, I think are will be in a better advantage to take advantage as being seen as socially conscious companies that are providing an added benefit to society.
Let's look at the market segment, Hispanic consumers. How would you say American companies are doing when it comes to engaging Hispanic consumers, or does it vary widely?
Well, great question. I'm so glad you asked that question. I want to share a following stat with your listeners. Since the Great Recession, 100% of our domestic consumer growth has been driven by what's being called the multicultural markets. Basically, these are all non-white consumers. Within the multicultural markets, over half of that consumer growth is Hispanic-driven. So now Hispanics are leading the way in purchasing homes. Another stat that I would like to share with your listeners is that this past year, over half of the mortgages were being bought by Hispanic families. And a great example is my own family. We bought a home in 2016. So we're contributing to the construction of new homes. As a result, also means that we're buying additional products and services, whether it's through the insurance industries, whether it's through one company comes to mind here locally is Briggs Stratton, you know, buying a lawnmower, for example. That's another example. Kohl's. My family, for example, are loyal Kohl's shoppers. So many companies are benefiting, and certainly as companies take a hard look at the marketing trends, one great driver is Hispanic millennials. Hispanic millennials account for 40% of the entire U.S. population, but yet they are purchasing products online through Amazon, certainly looking at other products. But, you know, that's a group that many companies have a keen eye on developing, nurturing, and looking forward to developing loyal customers.
So, Octavio, if companies don't engage or perhaps even ignore the Hispanic population, ignore the trend lines of demographics, do they do so at their own peril?
Absolutely. One recent example is Toys R Us. Toys R Us, as we all know, is now closing its doors as a result of a number of factors. Clearly, they had a huge debt issue. But Toys R Us, you know, quite frankly, missed the opportunity of focusing on the Hispanic consumer growth. And as someone who, you know, growing up in Chicago, I was very much familiar with Toys R Us. My parents took me to Toys R Us. Now that I'm a father, I've taken my children to Toys R Us. And over the last 10 years, since we've been in raising a family of three children, we probably have spent at least $1,000 a year over the last 10 years at either Babies R Us or Toys R Us. Toys R Us was never on in front of mind in terms of promoting Hispanic inclusion or having a strategy to win over the Hispanic consumer. I don't recall ever seeing, for example, a Toys R Us commercial on any of the Spanish language stations. So perhaps that was the leading factor to their demise, and it's quite unfortunate because that is many companies also see that their net profits are coming from the Hispanic consumer.
How would you say? You're cutting there. How would you say mass media is doing? What about TV shows, films? How is that market being driven by the Hispanic demographic?
Well, in terms of media, I mean, the representation of Hispanics on mainstream media, whether it's television or movies, is still very low. And I know there are a number of studies that point out that the consistency that less than 5% of actors or characters are Hispanic, of Hispanic identity, if you will. So that certainly is a challenge. But then you look at companies like Netflix. Think about how Netflix is growing its own strategy of winning over the Hispanic viewer. They now have the option for you to watch international Spanish programming or TV series on Netflix, and so that adds to their loyalty for their consumers, right? For that subscribe to Netflix. Amazon is following that trend as well. So there you see that in the digital space, but not necessarily in the traditional, you know, big three stations or other major cable networks.
We're talking with Octavio Hinojosa. He is the executive director of the National Hispanic Corporate Council, which is hosting its annual summit in Milwaukee, day two of the summit today. And the themes that we're learning coming out of the summit here on the morning show, it's called Advancing Hispanic Talent and Driving Consumer Growth, Trends Impacting a $2 Trillion Market. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think can be done to create more diverse and inclusive corporate cultures? If you're Hispanic, what has your experience been as a customer or as an employee here in Wisconsin? Are companies doing enough for you? Where are the roadblocks? Where are the opportunities? 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Tom in Burlington. Good morning, Tom.
My question is, how can we help the African-American community rise up and get out of the ghetto and get these jobs too? And is it possible that the Latino group could ally themselves, make an alliance with the African-American community and rise everybody up together?
So Tom is asking whether minority groups should be working together for the benefit of everyone. Octavio?
Yeah, okay, great question. I mean, I appreciate the question, and I could share from my own personal perspective is that I think there's great collaboration certainly within amongst, you know, minority groups. Certainly the African-American community has been, I would say my own opinion, strong champions of Hispanic inclusion in corporate America and vice versa. So there's a mutual level of respect and support that I think is a win-win for everyone. And so certainly I do want to convey that, you know, and transmit that to your listeners that, you know, certainly we're not here to compete against each other. We're here to support each other across the ensure that there's, you know, enough corporate opportunities for individuals regardless of their own heritage or background.
Octavio, what about more bilingual workforces? Are we seeing more bilingual people in the workforce, Spanish, English, interchangeably?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's another untold story about the economic power of the Hispanic consumer. Think about how many of our companies are promoting, selling, and providing customer service in Spanish. Spanish is a strong economic motor in our domestic economy, whether we realize it or not. And so, you know, when companies do offer their services in another language, in this case Spanish, which is, again, the second most spoken language in our country, they're also able to be more competitive and provide that type of level of services. And you see that across the banking industry. You see that at stores. And so certainly the fact that, you know, many of us, including myself, have grown up and are raising children who are bilingual is just a reflection of the reality that we live in a global economy, and individuals who are bilingual that are able to, you know, think, create, you know, in two languages and are even better assets and should be considered as a skill. You know, certainly anyone who speaks a second language brings an added level of competitiveness to the table, and it's something that we should, you know, quite frankly, support and promote. And we, if we can encourage our youth, regardless of their own background, to think to have the opportunity to learn a second language, I think we'll all be better off.
Let's go to Jeff now, joining us from Appleton. Hi, Jeff.
Hi there. In corporate America, I guess my thought in corporate America, there is no black, brown, white. There's only green. And when people have the skills, the education to be productive and to add and to really help with the corporation, they're going to move. They are going to advance. And that's something that I don't know that people have figured out. A lot of people that do succeed, they end up getting called sellouts because they figured out that education and playing by the corporate rules are what are going to move you forward. So I guess education is going to be the key.
Jeff, thanks. Octavio, what about education?
Great question, Jeff. I really appreciate you calling and asking the question. One of the things that we as an organization are really much committed to is ensuring that we are able to help develop future executives for corporate America.
And what we've found in a number of studies that our organization has taken on, we've come to the realization that Hispanic talent excels in from the entry level up to the managerial level. After the managerial level, once you get to the director, VP level, there seems to be what we would call a cultural glass ceiling. Why? Because at this point, corporate culture really kicks in. And for those who have the opportunity of working in corporate America, each company has its own culture. And being able to understand that culture is key to upward mobility within the company. So one of the things that our organization has done is partnered with a top business school, which is the Southern Methodist University's Cox School of Business in Dallas, Texas. And we offer a program called Corporate Executive Development Program, CDP. And it is specifically designed to take a high-potential Hispanic corporate employee and go through a nine-month transformative experience so that we can, raise awareness that there are certain cultural attributes one has that will that perhaps are hindering that person from moving forward. One great example, if I may use this, is that the concept of humility and respect. Within Hispanic culture, it's very much a culture that respects an individual because of seniority, whether it's title, age, or education. And if you're in a corporate board setting and everyone's discussing a challenge, trying to figure out how to resolve this particular problem, you may find that someone who is of Hispanic heritage or Asian heritage may be less likely to speak up and offer an opinion out of respect for the more senior people in the room because they may offend them by, you know, making a comment that would undermine their intelligence or their rank. And so as a result, a lot of individuals often held back because they're not seen as being vocal or not seen as being, forward thinking. And
or not perceived as having something to bring to the table.
Exactly. But on the contrary, it's all about respect, right? Mm. And so it's something that for me, in my own experience, it was a wake-up call because I tend to do that quite a lot. If someone has a higher rank, higher education than myself, or even is older than myself, you're more respectful to that person. And it's just part of the culture. And certainly we're very proud of the work that we're doing with this program with SMU, so much so that individuals that go through a program within a year, they receive about an average of 20% increase in salary and promotion. So we're making an impact in that sense. So I do appreciate your question, Jeff. Thank you.
Octavio, do you think that companies realize that their corporate culture is holding them back?
In some cases, yes. I mean, quite frankly, I've had the opportunity of traveling across the country, visiting with Fortune 1000 companies, and you do get a sense now there are companies who get it, they understand it, but there are other companies that simply do not. They're comfortable, and they don't want to rock the boat. They may be in a part of the country that has yet not fully experienced some of the demographic trends that we're seeing in major cities or in key parts of the country. And it's unfortunate because think about one great example, if I may, is the trucking industry. I met with a Fortune 1000 company that's one of the top trucking companies in the country. They were very much interested in recruiting Latino Hispanic drivers. Why? Because of the baby boomer population. They're losing truck drivers. The majority of them are baby boomers, and certainly they're retiring, and there's no one there replacement. So the trucking industry, for example, has a shortage of probably around 200,000 truckers that they need at this moment.
And we have to pause right there. Octavio Hinojosa, our guide, executive director of the National Hispanic Corporate Council, gathering your thoughts as well, 800-642-1234. What do you think about corporate culture and Hispanic demographic? Let's talk about it after this news update. The latest job figures released by the Bureau of Labor Statistics last week reported that the jobless rate for Hispanics fell to 4.8%, tying the record reached last year and in 2006. The unemployment rate is hitting record lows, and that factors into this conversation about Hispanic workers in corporate America and companies working to diversify their workforce. We're talking about the National Hispanic Corporate Council Annual Summit on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and the summit is underway in Milwaukee. The executive director of the council, Octavio Hinojosa, stays with us, gathering your insights, your questions about the workforce at 800-642-1234. Are companies doing enough on diversifying? What do you think can be done to change corporate culture? If you're Hispanic, what is your impression of where you work? Does your heritage come up, or is it a non-issue, non-starter? Call in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Angela now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Angela.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My little bit of background briefly, I am bilingual, English, Spanish, and I work in intercultural communication and also like executive coaching and corporations. But my comment, I guess, would be, as you mentioned, corporate culture, kind of Hispanic culture adapting to corporate America. I really do think that one of the biggest issues we face as a nation is corporate America has separated itself more and more from doing business in communities and helping build the communities in which they operate. That itself, returning to more not only social responsibility, but understanding and operating within the communities in which they do business. The diversity not only of the Hispanic culture, but other cultures would really help shape corporate American culture.
Angela, thank you for calling in. Octavio, your thoughts on what Angela is saying here.
No, I appreciate Angela's comments. And certainly, companies that have national reach or regional reach definitely need to reflect their consumers or the communities that they are headquartered. Certainly, because that would provide a lot of great insights for them to be competitive. And I value Angela's comment that certainly it's a challenge for some companies, but perhaps not for others that are a bit more advanced in this journey, if you will. I really want to thank Angela for calling in and sharing that thought with us.
Octavio, what can and should companies be doing when they work to attract and employ Hispanic individuals?
Great question. It's a very competitive environment, and one thing to keep in mind is, which we have not discussed, is the millennial factor in all this. Millennials are now the largest segment of our workforce, and within millennials, which it is the most diverse generation in our nation's history, I believe the number is fast approaching about over 40% of millennials are minorities themselves. And certainly the challenge of attracting millennials to work in corporate America is there, or companies are asking that question: how can we recruit, retain, and develop Latino millennials? Because certainly that is a great opportunity for them to develop their future workforce. No? And so what we're seeing is a very unique challenge that was shared with us yesterday, and an insight that I'd like to pass on to your listeners is the fact that for the last 20 years, since 1995 until here, most recently 2015, baby boomers were for the majority the largest segment of the workforce. And then around 2008, it became Generation Xers, like myself. And Generation Xers were the largest segment of the working population for less than 5 years. And so now you have millennials that are now the largest segment of our workforce. And within that group, of course, as just shared, over 40% are minorities. So it's the new workers, again, are going to be coming from a more diverse background. And as I shared earlier, 74% of our labor growth is Hispanic-driven. So once again, it's 3 out of 4 new workers in this country will be of Hispanic heritage.
So a lot of companies right now are having these conversations about making their corporate cultures more diverse, kind of putting their own eyes on what their corporate cultures are all about. Outside of hiring more employees from underrepresented groups, what else would you like to see companies do in order to create a more inclusive culture at work?
Definitely. And it's the culture is certainly led from the top, from the CEO level, the C-suite level, as well as the corporate boards, right?
And many companies are now tying bonuses to the diversity, they're adding diversity as a criteria for executive bonuses, right? And I think that's a great incentive for CEOs of major companies to really take leadership of this important opportunity. There is a business case for diversity and inclusion. And study after study continues to prove that companies that go in this direction are more profitable, more sustainable, and offer better products and services to their consumers. And certainly, it can also be led from the bottom up. Think about companies that do have employee resource groups, or ERGs, as they're often referred to. These are organizations within the company that are often chaired by a senior executive that helps develop a more welcoming environment for individuals of diverse backgrounds. So you want to have a company that recognizes and acknowledges one's own diversity factor into the company, because that would make the workforce a much more productive environment, a much more welcoming environment that would help retain employees. And certainly, you know, we all have been in situations where sometimes we're offered a better opportunity, we go with it, but you know, Hispanic workers are very loyal to their companies, and that's something that I think many many companies appreciate, the fact that that the Hispanic employee is loyal to their employer in a way that helps provide great retention results.
Earlier in the hour, you gave the example of Toys R Us just completely ignoring any type of marketing effort toward their customers of Hispanic backgrounds. And it lends itself to the question, the marketing to the Hispanic demographic, in the past, there's been a lot of stereotyping going on when we see this marketing. Where are we at with stereotypes?
With stereotypes? Well, I would share with you that companies that are very effective in their Hispanic marketing strategies are companies that no longer have a Hispanic marketing department. They have now included their Hispanic marketing team within the overall marketing team. And what you'll find now, there's a number of examples of commercials that if you look closer, you'll see some Hispanic insights that are embedded within the commercials. Why? Because certainly, you know, the Hispanic consumer is also living. Again, we watch the same TV shows, the same programming, we listen to the same commercials. And so that's another way of companies of becoming a much more sophisticated in reaching out and promoting their products and services. And certainly it's a fascinating industry, if you really look into it, of how creative Hispanic marketing has become. In fact, some of the top ad agencies are also Hispanic marketing agencies that are providing these type of services. So it's a very interesting industry that's been developed, very creative, and also a very competitive environment, to say the least.
So going forward, what are you hoping will change in the coming decade, and are you optimistic that it can happen?
No, without a doubt. I mean, I think putting all headlines aside, I think we're in a very fortunate place to be. We as a country, compared to the rest of the world, I think we need to really take a step back and acknowledge and recognize that what makes our country great is our diverse heritages, and the fact that we have a unique opportunity within our own country to really continue working on education of our youth, in particular Hispanic youth, because they're the youngest segment of the workforce, they're the fastest growing segment of the workforce, and as we have a growing aging population, we're going to need the young workers, the young educated workers with higher incomes to help sustain the social benefits that are coming to our retirees. So in essence, I would say that for those folks who are now over the age of 65 and are receiving their Social Security benefits or are also benefiting from the income growth that Hispanic workers are experiencing. And I think it's a win-win for everyone.
Octavio, as we start to wrap up here, within all the uncertainty that lends itself to the conversation around immigration, to the conversation around DACA, has it made companies perhaps have to look very strongly within and figure out who these companies want to be, where they stand on these types of issues? Has it brought that out of the background?
Without a doubt. I mean, there are conversations that are being had within each company or certainly across companies about where corporate America needs to place itself in this particular topic. You know, we can look at companies or CEOs such as Tim Cook at Apple or the CEO at another financial institution, which his name is I'm losing, but they have come forward, made public statements that we cannot put ourselves in a situation where we're going to limit ourselves from bringing in talent from other parts of the world. And in fact, we may be even losing that competitive advantage already because many high-tech companies are no longer able to bring in the talent that they need to help drive our economy, and instead companies that are based in Canada, for example, are now benefiting from that or other parts of the world. So we really need to look at immigration as a positive and look at it as a way of helping our country remain the top, you know, global economic power. If not, we'll put ourselves in a very difficult situation, and I can certainly, you know, elaborate further of what that would look like. But right now, we're still very fortunate to have the demographic growth rates that we're having. And it's all basically been Hispanic-driven.
Octavio, thank you for making time for us.
Absolutely. A pleasure to be on your show, Kate, and I wish everyone a great day here in Wisconsin.
Octavio Hinojosa is Executive Director of the National Hispanic Corporate Council, which is currently hosting its annual summit in Milwaukee. This hour of the morning show was produced by Chris Molina and Sarah Hopeful. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network.